Mr. Douglas Real One, when and where were you born?
I was born in Stanley, 1916, at 7 Blooms Avenue. I think that's where I was born, 7 Blooms Avenue. Yeah.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had. Living, I had one brother and four sisters. And, you know, a lot of babies died before they were 12 years old, because in those days it was infant mortality was very high. In fact, when you insured a child, you insured for a penny a week. If it lived for 3 months, you got your money back. If it lived for 6 months, you got £5. And if it lived for a 12-month, then you were due to £10. And, of course, that £10 kept carried on for the rest of the person's life, really. But it was a penny a week when you started. That was the way the insurance for children, anyway. But such a lot of children died early in life. You know, very, very few. Well, I must say very few, but an awful lot died before they were 1 year old. And then, of course, they had the measles, scarlet fever, diphtheria, all killers in those days, you know. So that if a child got to three, well, it had a chance of surviving. Now, my mother had quite a big family, but the survivors was, I had a brother, David, a sister Phyllis, a sister Elizabeth, a sister Jenny, and a sister Georgina, and I was the youngest. I had a brother, John Robert. He died when he was about three, but that was the survivors of the family. So I was the youngest of all my mother's children.
Did your family suffer from child mortality?
Yes. My mother had about 13 children, I think. So she lost few. Some, of course, died in childbirth. I don't know exactly how, because that was before I was born. But I do know I had a brother who died at 3 years old. My namesake, John Robert. And there was others. Of course, my oldest brother was a lot older than me. He was, about 20 years older than me, getting on that way, you know.
What about your father? What did he do for a living? Hmm? What about your father? What did he do for a living?
Well, my father, he was a miner at the beginning with, worked at Burns's Colliery in Stanley, and he was just a young man when he was had his back. There was a stone there, thing called a carbon house. It's a sort of a round, big round, well, they're different sizes of them, and I just saw they can sort of slip out, and it hit him in the back, broke his back. It was paralysed in the waist down for about 2 years, and this is what I've heard. I don't know, but at the time he was lodging with my mother's people, and whether she was pregnant I don't know, but anyway he married her, you know. And that's what, but he used to lodge with her, because he left home, fell out with my grandfather. My grandfather was a railroad type, I believe, when I've heard. Big, raw-boned Scotsman, came from across the borders, or, well, actually from Denick, Leannock. And he must have caught my grandmother, but he was just a rough pippin, and they were people of a little bit sort of higher, and they wouldn't let him marry her. And it wasn't until fairly recently, I was doing the research of the family, that I found out that my father was illiterate. He wanted to marry her, but my mother's people wouldn't let him, or at least my grandmother's people wouldn't let her marry him unless he changed his name. His name was Douglas, my mother's name was Hunter. And anyway, there was a compromise. It was 12 months, but he changed his name to Hunter Douglas. So I really am Hunter Douglas. My father was a Hunter Douglas. But my father was about 1 year old when they got married. So I never knew that until I started researching the family history.
How did your father cope after his mining accident then? Was he able to work after that?
Well, after that, when he eventually he did recover and he was able to walk with crutches, and became a showman, a travelling showman. He had horses and shooting gallery, window breaking stalls, hoopla stalls, and things like that. He travelled with show people, you know. And eventually, of course, he left that and settled in Stanley, like at Bloom's Avenue. I think he fell out. Some of the other showmen's guild, him and it was Murphy's. Murphy's was one of the big people that showmen's guild. I think they had some difference. Anyway, he came out and, because he had a pension from the colony, you know, for his back, like, you know. Weekly income from that, like, you know, which then he started up as a hawker, fruiting, you know, sell fruit and things, did ship movals, furniture removals and things like that. He had lorries and horses, carts, because he had horses for being in the show, because there were a lot of horses in them days, you know.
Was it the show family? Was the show people in the family?
Well, not really. Of course, he was finished with them long before I was born. But I had photographs of my brother, and that, you know, they had he had a shooting gallery where he used to shoot ping pong balls. And I've got a photo of my brother used to have a sort of a hand pump. He used to pump the pressure up to keep the jets going for the balls. So he would be then about 7 or 8 year old, I suppose.
And they travelled all over the country?
Travelled in the area, not all over the country, but in the area. Different show people have the areas, you know, the Murphy's. Murphy was the big people in those days, show people, like. And the last one that I remember in this area would be Miller's. They say they had one big thing, like galloping horses or flying gondoliers or whatever they were. They weren't anything like the rides they have today, of course, but they were, for those days, they were very showy and had an organ playing. And of course, the smaller cells were round about. My dad was never one of the big ones, but he had in fact, it's just well after the war. In fact, a few years before he died, he had what we call shuggy boats, you know, the swings. And one of the Payne's lads, I remember them, the Payne's family, and they came and bought them off him, and they took them down, and they went down to Whitley Bay, and they were on the sands there for years and years. I don't know they're there yet, even. That's a long time now. He had them stored in the cellar at Bloom's Avenue, where we lived. And he had a window breaking stall there. I've cut that up for firewood, oak, little squares with glass in. And of course, the big pitmans, so many balls for 6 months or 3 months or whatever it was, I don't know. And they broke a glass, got a prize. So that sort of thing. Of course, the fairs in those days were much more simple things than the places that weren't like the art of day.
Did your mother work? Did your mother work?
No, mother never worked. Not that I know of. My mother died when I was six. I remember her. I remember her funeral. Because the shoes were at the front. And they stopped the organ when the, of course in those days it was horses, you know, it wasn't cars. Horses, big black plumes, and the hearse was like a glass thing on wheels, you know, and they put the coffin in. And there were but one cab, and then the people used to walk at funerals. There was always a long cortege of people walking, two or three or four abreast, depending on them. And used to walk to the church and enter the churchyard. Funerals were quite elaborate, things in those days. You see, when there was a death, all the blinds were drawn straight away for at least a week until after the funeral, anyway. And the members of the family used to wear a black ribbon round on their arm. The black ribbon. It's worn black ribbon for, yeah, say 6 months, 12 months, or something. Yeah. But a death in the family is quite a serious business. Everybody wore black. Women wore black for a long, long time. They wore sometimes the widows. They wore a veil on the over the face for quite a while. But that was dying out, I think, when I was just young.
Is that one of your earliest recollections of your childhood?
Tears. Yes, it is. I remember, of course. I remember the funeral of my mother. And I remember the coffin, the grave, I know exactly. That's funny, that's one of things. Some things, of course, stick in your memory and you never go out of that. But it was quite a traumatic experience for a child then. Mother dying. She died of appendicitis. I remember they took her to the infirmary, but she died there.
Of course, that's something which is quite easily cured these days. Hmm? It's something which is quite easily cured these days.
Oh, well, appendicitis in those days was... They hadn't the medical knowledge, you know. And it burst. I remember them putting hot plates on her. And she was screaming with the pain. Anyway, they took her away to the infirmary and she died there and came back. I remember the coffin, because I was only a child, only about 5 or 6 years old. But you don't forget things like that. I never saw my mother again. And then I was just on my own then, of course. And my sister, my older sister, took over. And I had a very unhappy childhood. She was a very, very hot-tempered, like my dad. Dad was a bad-tempered person, but my dad never had much time for her. He's far too busy, you know. She'd out all day hawking. He would take me with me before I started school, going with him on the wagons, lorries, you know, shifting people. Used to move... Because in those days, a miner did quite a bit of moving around, you know, if he incurred debts or anything, and if he got a bad cable, he might go to another colliery, because there'd always work at all the collieries, there's always plenty of work to get. And my dad would maybe go, they'd say, well, come about 12 o'clock at night, you know, what they call a moonlight flit. And he'd go there, and they'd load up and off, he'd go to maybe shift away several miles away to another place. I remember that those days. It was, of course, it was different then. Different.
Where were you living at this time?
In Blooms Avenue. I've lived there until after the war, of course. Blooms Avenue.
What was Stanley like in those days?
It was a very, very busy place. Stanley was the place of the area, much more important than Chesil Street or Concert or anywhere. Stanley had two theatres, the Theatre Royal and the Victoria Theatre. They were quite things in those days, theatres, you know. I remember the Lindens had the Victoria Theatre, and they lived in Beamish Street, the end of Beamish Street, opposite Plums Avenue where I lived. And Mr. and Mrs. Linden, they ran the Victoria. He was the manager there. The drummers faced the window, and you know, I remember one of my earliest memories going there with my cousin from Burnhope, Sheila Burnhope, that was my father's sister, and she married a brakesman of Burnhope Colliery, and I remember she took me then to the Victoria, very, very old theatre, because it was pulled down and rebuilt as the Isolde later years, like. And I remember the Theatre Royal, a lot of pubs. Stanley was always lit up. Shops used to stay open, you know, till late at night. And Stanley was quite an important place. It was Stanley Market was noted. In fact, they wrote a song about it. I've got it on tape. Stanley. It was quite an important place, Stanley. Very important place.
Was life comfortable as a child, family life?
For me, it was. I was, I always got plenty to eat, but there was quite a lot of families, you know, that didn't always get a lot to eat. I remember when I was a child, quite a few children used to come to school barefooted, you know, no shoes, they couldn't afford shoes. Because everybody had big families in them days. All had big families, nearly everyone anyway. And as I say, miners' wages weren't all, sometimes were good, sometimes were bad, I suppose, but the people were poor, on the whole poor. Dad always had, because he used to grow fruit, half fruit, you know, and that. And then later on, of course, he started to build caravans, and he built quite a lot of caravans and let them, you know, had them hired out, rented, because there was always a bit shortage of accommodation in the area. Most of the houses were colliery houses. They built further pits when they sunk the colliery, so they had to build houses for the to get work, but to come work at the colliery.
So these were caravans just for people to live in, not for travelling people. The caravans were just to live in.
Oh no,
they
were static, yes, static caravans for to let. Oh, yeah, quite a lot of them. I used to go and help to build them. After school, he'd work. So he used to work till dark. No, when I was a 14, 15-year-old, I used to go and help him. And used to buy the chassis at Newcastle. And used to build a caravan on the chassis, of course. And then pull it to the state where they were putting and let it. That's how he got his living.
So you must have quite a reasonable standard of living, did
yes,
you?
Yes, we had, yes. My family had.
Did you ever have an annual holiday? Family holiday?
No. Oh, yes. I did, yes. We had the school holidays, you know. I once went to Tynemouth, a place called The Haven. It's just right up here. And there was a bell tent. We had a bell tent there. And there was some people from across the road, and youngsters and my sisters, McCabe's lasses, my sisters and me, and we had a fortnight there, and I wanted to have a fortnight down at Winlayton Mill, because I had relations there, like. My father's people had, my father had relations. My grandmother's really, the hunters. And I had all there on like a bungalow. There was like an island there. There was a weir and steps, I remember, and a big pool. Of course, there must have been a mill there at one time. The name tells you that, wouldn't it, the mill. And we had I remember there, another memory there that comes back to me was, I can't remember his name now, but he came to see us, and he's on his back, and he had his feet in the air, and I was on his knees, on his feet, on my tummy, and balance and sort of thing. And I went forward, and there was some half a slice of jam and bread over, and it was covered in wasps. And as I went forward, I put my hand on it, and I remember my hand was swollen right up, and they put whitening on it, put the paint it with whitewash, you know, whitening. Didn't not do much good, but I remember that was a very unpleasant memory. yes.
What about leisure time when you were a child? What sort of things did you do as a child?
Well, played cricket, marbles, cigarette cards, had a golf. I remember it was made by Henderson the blacksmith. He had a blacksmith shop right opposite the Albert Hall. Well, more nearly opposite the top where the car park is standing is now. And there's a nursing home there on the top there. And I remember Danny Rucroft, the butcher, had his big shed there where he used to put his butcher's cart in, his horse. Because he used to go down. Because in those days, everything was delivered to your door. Women didn't go out shopping much. That in time, were always too busy with the workers. But everything was come to the door. There was hawkers come round, clothes props, post tubs, post sticks, kippers, fruit, everything was brought. The yes man, vinegar, fish, everything. They would come around shouting their wares, you know, and the women used to go and get from these carts. It was a different way of life, completely different to what it is now. Completely different.
Any other things that spring to mind that you did as a child? Any other games that you played or places that you went to?
Well, I used to walk to Burnhope to me aunt's over there. That was, you know, people wouldn't dream of walking that far now. Everybody walked because there was no television. There was the picture halls, but Sunday was a day of rest, you know. And nearly everybody went for a walk on a Sunday. In the summer, of course, went for a walk in the summer. You could go out and would hundreds of people to walk and wait on the Causey Ward. And, oh, there was lots of good walks. Everybody went walking on a Sunday and Sunday afternoon sometimes. I remember I had a pretty free hand, you know. Because, as I say, when my mother died, Dad didn't have much time bother with us. My sister was just a damn nuisance as far as she was concerned, my older sister, because I got in the way of her pleasure activities. She used to work for Muscadinis. She was a very pretty girl, And that was during that time that next elder sister next to her died, Elizabeth. She died with TB. Well, I was about seven. It'd been older, around about a year after my mother died.
How old was she?
She was 19. About 19 or 20 when she died. And I remember her dying. Then I had two other sisters, younger than her, with more my age, but I was still younger than them, you know. Funny thing occurred that, and I don't know whether it'd be much of interest to you, but the point was, yes, a few years after my sister died, but I used to sleep in that room then, because there was only two bedrooms, and it was funny because there was often people in our house, you know. There was my dad always had people, you know, the well-known personality used to come to the house. And there was Pompey Clark, Andy Pruder, Harry McKnight, I remember their names. And quite a lot of them used to come and argue with the toss and put the world to right and all that sort of thing, you know. and this night I went to, I was going to the room for something. I couldn't open the door. And I said, well, I can't open the door. There's something. My dad tried, he couldn't open the door. Well, that's funny. It was shortly after my sister died, this. So I went into the yard, and there's a window in the yard. You could see into the room, you see. And there was nothing behind the door. There was the bed, which was at the side of the door. So my dad said, well, smash the door down. And they tried. Big fellas, you know, only put their shoulders and dumped. And they couldn't budge it. And they came and started discussing. Funny thing. And anyway, when they went and tried, they opened the knob. It was just a doorknob in those days, doorknob. It just all just opened. Never ever found out about that. So, I don't know. Never anything else after that. But there was nothing jamming the door. It was a funny thing. Well, never got to the bottom of it. Yes, that was another thing that happened. Oh, I just... and then the other sister, the older one, the eldest sister married then. She married a lad from Burnup Field. And he... wasn't much, there was the strikes, I remember the strikes. Beautiful weather, 6 weeks they were on strike, 8 weeks, 8 weeks of solid fine weather practically. And the miners started a market. And I remember that there, with the strike, with my dad used to take coals for the miners. He's in favour of the strikes, he'd been a miner himself at one time. And they stopped him at the bottom of, well, the bottom of Barn Hill it was. And you have this coals and the pickets and that stuff. Said, where are you going then? Where is them? Taking to see, he said, no, you're not going any farther. So, well, he said, for your own people, he said that. No, they made him loose the cart out, tipped the coal off. They wouldn't let him do it. Of course they were. It was a bad strike that. For a long, long time. And it was all over about, I think it was about a halfpenny. They wanted six and sixpence halfpenny. They offered them six and sixpence. So I tell you how little bits of things in those days were important. Halfpennies. You can't imagine what it was like. You'd have to live in them times to realise poverty, real poverty. In our soup kitchens, I used to go and get a bowl of soup, or miners' children's. And not that I had any need, but I used to go like with the other kids because, well, I used to play with the other kids and that. They were all minor sons. And so a bad strike. But I remember the weather was very, very good. And I had to go back at the finish, you lost. I had to go back for the six.
I guess there were hard times.
Very hard. Very hard. So I say not so much for me, but for a lot of other. I wasn't rich or anything like that. I got a penny a week, and that was it. And I said, run errands, you might get a jam jar, you get a halfpenny for it. We took it back to the shop, or a beer bottle. I used to go for Mrs. Quinn. She used to drink. Her husband was always working the night shift. He used to go to work about 6 o'clock, 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And I used to go up there after he went to work and she'd give me a bottle. And I used to go to Dodgson's for a bottle of Maxim Ale. And she used to hide the bottles. Houses in those days that they would call a set pot when they used to boil the water for washing day. And she used to hide a bottle in there, put clothes on top of it. And at the end of the week, she used to give me a bottle to take. Well, I used to get a penny for it, for running errands for the week. Things like that, I got a bit then. Get a few sweets. But sweets were, you get 10 aniseed balls for a halfpenny. You got quite a few. Used to share sometimes with kids. I had friends that had some good mates, so they're all dead now. Every one of them. All dead.